The UCR Podcast.
Let's talk about Back to the Beginning, the massive tribute to Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath that happened this past weekend in Birmingham, England. Lars of Metallica says it was like heavy metal summer camp for everybody who got to be part of it. Fans are calling it hard rock and heavy metal's version of Live Aid or Loud Aid, which feels like a very appropriate way to reference what will go down in music history as one of the greatest one-day concert events that we've had the chance to witness as fans on the same epic level as Live Aid, that is for sure. But also other star-studded concerts like the Freddie Mercury tribute. And I think Back to the Beginning felt similar to the Mercury tribute to me, just because this past weekend's concert really brought together most of the titans of, in this case, hard rock and heavy metal, both past and present. And what was cool about it is that the whole event seemed to be really remarkably ego-free. Everybody who stepped on that stage was there for the same reason. They all wanted to honor Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath. There was the unified recognition that Ozzy and Sabbath really were crucial elements of carving the path for what they themselves are now doing in the studio and on concert stages all over the world. Friend of UCR Chuck Armstrong was there on the ground in Birmingham, and he joins us after returning home late last night. Chuck, tell me about being there in Birmingham. It seems like you got to spend some time seeing the sights a little bit prior to going to the gig, and that had to be quite an experience.
Yeah, that's right, man. Well, first off, you recapped everything so perfectly. I think you nailed it all. But getting to run around Birmingham, the city, before going to the event, just made the day that much more special, because it was so cool to see Birmingham embrace Black Sabbath and Ozzy. And, you know, I guess maybe just, you know, you might just assume, well, of course they would, but how many times have we seen massive bands go to a city, they go, they leave, and it's like they were never there? Obviously, for Birmingham sure has such a connection to Sabbath and Ozzy, but still to see the city embrace them. I mean, there were police officers handing out maps of all the different locations to see the mural of Black Sabbath, to see the bull that's named Ozzy, to see, you know, the Crown, the pub where Black Sabbath and probably Earth play their first shows, where truly heavy metal was born. And so just to see the city get behind it was so cool. But then to see those things, the Black Sabbath bench, the Ozzy Working Man exhibit at the art museum, all these different things just made the day that much more special.
Yeah, and I thought it was super cool, too, that the members of Sabbath were there through the week, and it seems like they really got to take it all in. I listened to Dave Ellefson recapped like the whole thing on his podcast, and he, I think, termed it at one point as being like being able to be in the room and kind of witness like a family reunion. He kind of referenced particularly the Osbourne family and just everything he got to see with the family, just really getting to be together. But it just feels like overall, like if we look at the greater family, the Sabbath family and everything, like it's super cool that these guys got to spend the week and really just enjoy the fruits of everything they've done across 57 incredible years. Like it feels like they really got a moment both on the day of the concert and leading up to it to really kind of take that all in. And that's cool.
That's it, man. And I love seeing those pictures come out of the guys standing by the mural, you know, just like, I got to see the mural. All the fans got to see the mural, and they got to see it too. And they saw the bench and all of that. And so it was clear that, you know, they didn't just show up for the show, or they didn't just kind of hang out behind the scenes because they're Black Sabbath. No, they were in Birmingham walking around soaking it all up, just like the fans were.
I want to talk about Ozzy and Sabbath as far as the performance, of course, but let's take them out of this for a moment. What were some of the highlights of the day for you personally?
I mean, so many highlights. And one of the things that, you know, maybe doesn't come through on the live stream was just how smoothly the whole day went. And so, you know, like a lot of the bands played for 15 minutes. So they played three songs. There was about a 7-minute changeover between bands, and no sound check, you know, for the crowd or anything like that. And things just went off perfectly. Band after band, changeover after changeover. I mean, it could not have ran smoother from the fans' perspective. I know the crew, you know, was working their heads off the entire day, of course, but that was certainly a highlight. And because of that, then every band, every performance just seemed perfect. It seemed great. And so I would say every single band, you know, there was a highlight from their performance. But for me, I was blown away by Lamb of God's cover of Children of the Grave. That's just one of my favorite Sabbath songs. But, you know, to hear them play that and to put their kind of spin on it was really cool. Everybody's talking about it, but Youngblood doing the Changes cover was amazing. Mm-hmm. And for a few reasons. One, he wasn't on the original list, so he was a surprise addition. I think for the UK fans, they certainly are very aware of Youngblood. I think for the American fans, maybe some awareness, but also some kind of, huh, why is he here? And then he plays Changes, which is not the heaviest Sabbath song, right? And it's probably not many fans' favorite song, but he just blew it away. And, you know, you referencing Live Aid, no doubt he had a Freddie Mercury moment getting the stadium to sing Changes. And I get goosebumps even as I say that. So that was amazing. Steven Tyler just was incredible, especially you think about all that he's gone through the last year or two, all that Aerosmith has gone through. For him to come out on stage and just belt it was incredible. Of course, Ronnie Wood, another surprise addition, was amazing to see him come out and play. I was, you know, I'm a big Tool fan, so I'm not surprised I enjoyed the set, but I thought their cover into their original, you know, Hand of Doom into Anima was probably one of the most thought out, most well-prepared performances. Like, it was clear they studied, they practiced, they nailed it. And then also just some of the deep cuts, man. GNR coming out playing four Sabbath covers, you know, before any originals. Metallica playing Johnny Blade. I mean, like all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, none of us knew what covers people were going to play, anything like that. And so just to kind of in the moment see those things come out, it was so cool. And I also got to give a shout out to Hailstorm, the only band. So take the supergroups out of it. They were the only band to cover Ozzy. Every other band covered Sabbath. And they crushed Perry Mason, man. I mean, it was amazing. So listen, I could give you 100 more highlights, but as I think about it, those definitely stand out to me.
Lizzie Hale was on my list because we've seen, like, she's gone out and done shows with Skid Row, you know, and she goes out and, as you say, just crushes it on Perry Mason, comes out and crushes it on The Ultimate Sin. Like, I just love that, like, at heart, like, no matter what her age is, she's an old school rocker, and it's like that just comes through time and time again. Like, it's been cool seeing her get more of these kind of opportunities here in recent years to just go out and kind of like show her love for hard rock and heavy metal like that.
That's right. And I think, you know, she especially felt some pressure because she was the only female on the lineup. And so, you know, whether she was singing with Hailstorm or whether she was singing in the supergroup, I know she carried that as a major responsibility. And she crushed it, man. And then also, you know, seeing her out in the crowd, like the whole Hailstorm band and honestly, a lot of the bands throughout the day would just find themselves in the crowd, you know, watching it as fans, soaking it all up. Like you said, they were all there for the same reason, just like the fans. We were all there to pay tribute to Ozzy and Sabbath, and to see the bands do that too, was really, really cool.
Yeah, I know that when Metallica was at the Power Trip Festival, like they were spotted, as we know, like just being out there in the crowd, being fans. And that's something else that Ellefson talked about, was that when it got to the end of the night, to the Sabbath part of the night, that like he's just out there in the crowd. Like, you know, he went out there and like there were, he said that, you know, no matter, you know, there's all the people that were on the bill, but he's like, man, he's like, there were all sorts of other major musicians that were just there to see the show. So Dave's like, that's kind of where I found myself at the end of the night, was just with all my pals that had just come to the show just to see the show. And we were just all out there watching Sabbath together, man. Chuck, that's the way it should, that's the way any good show should end. But like, what an epic way to like end that particular show, is just be out there, like just watching these amazing titans of hard rock and heavy metal, just the originators, crushing it on stage. So cool.
That's exactly right, man. And I don't know if Ellefson mentioned some weirdo talking to him in the crowd, but that was definitely me. I grabbed his shoulders. I'm like, David, you did great, man. And it was just cool to see him, yeah, just standing there enjoying every second of Ozzy and Sabbath.
Yeah, it looks like you had a good spot. Like, it looks like you and Lawar Joe went down and staked out a good spot pretty early in the day and presumably never left.
Yeah, really. We were talking about it after the fact. Like, with those 7-minute changeovers, you had about 3 minutes to run and grab a drink, you know, water, go to the bathroom, whatever, because you didn't want to miss anything. And so, yeah, we found our spot and we really didn't move much. And by the end of the day, we were definitely toast, but it was worth it, man.
Well, all right. So Ozzy, Black Sabbath, man, your thoughts on like what you saw, because like I know what I got to witness, like watching the live stream, and even before it came up on the live stream, like we were at home, like watching, like, you know, since the live stream was like 2 hours behind, like, you know, we're watching, like, you know, the audience stream of Ozzy and the audience stream of Black Sabbath. So like, what was it like taking it all in, like there in person?
It was really cool, man. And it was really heavy, like emotionally heavy for the fans. Because nobody knew what to expect. I mean, I think we, you know, based on all the covers, we knew Ozzy was going to play the hits. We knew Sabbath were going to play their hits, which was great to expect all of that. But, you know, we didn't know exactly how it would go. I'll say, I don't think anybody was there expecting the greatest Ozzy show ever or anything like that. But it was pretty amazing, man. And, you know, Ozzy sounded good. I thought he sounded really good. And even when he's saying, "Mama, I'm coming home," you know, he was choked up. You know, I think he kind of struggled with the first verse, because the weight of what was going on and just, you know, the emotional heaviness of that song, I think it all caught up to him. But man, it's hard to describe, because it was so special. One of the things too that really stood out to me, and as I've been thinking about it, is, you know, 40,000, 45,000 fans there, however many filled that stadium, there weren't any drunken a-holes or anything like that. You know, nobody screaming their heads off during when Ozzy was talking. Like, man, I've never been in a stadium where the front man, you know, was talking to the crowd and it was almost dead silent. Like, the fans just respected him as much as they could. And so even when he was talking, nobody was wooing or screaming or anything like that. Like, everybody was standing on their tiptoes here, listening to every second of what he had to say. And it was really special, man.
That's super cool. And you know what, man, like, you talked about how it was kind of cool how the bands, like, earlier in the day were, like, kind of picking, like, deep Sabbath cuts. Like, they weren't, like, doing all the expected songs. And to that end, like, even in Ozzy's set, like, it was super cool seeing him pull out Suicide Solution when totally. You would have expected him to, like, instead, like, say, pull out No More Tears. Like, you know, doing five songs, Ozzy would have been completely, you know, in the zone to just pick five of his biggest songs and leave it there on the stage. But it's just, like, that was a cool nugget to get.
Yeah, when they did Suicide Solution, you could tell everybody was pretty excited about that. That was a great addition to that set list. And you're right, man. Like, honestly, getting 9 songs from Ozzy, you know, 5 from his solo set and 4 with Sabbath, that was more, I think, than a lot of people expected. And he nailed it, man. And his band for his solo set was so good with those guys on stage, you know, carrying him and just doing what they needed to do. The spotlight wasn't on them or anything like that. That was really cool to see too.
Yeah, man. In terms of like fantasy baseball, like, you hope to see like these, you know, certain people from an artist like era take the stage again. And certainly seeing Jake E. Lee back on stage playing Ozzy songs in any form. Obviously he played Ultimate Sin and then also Shot in the Dark earlier in the day. Ultimate Sin with Lizzie doing the vocals, as we've talked about. David Draymond from Disturbed doing Shot in the Dark. That was super cool. But man, for me as a fan, it was super cool to see Mike Inez on stage playing with Ozzy Osbourne. That was a moment for me.
That's right. That band was so cool. Like, of course, Zach's going to play, right? That wasn't a surprise, but still really cool to see. But yeah, Mike Inez on stage with him, man, that was really special. And especially, you know, Alice in Chains had a great set too. And so for Mike to have such a good set with Alice and then take a little bit of a break and then come back out with Ozzy was amazing.
I'm going to refer back to David Ellefson's memories at least one more time here, just to say that, like, he, like a lot of us, have been like going through kind of our MVPs on the day. And, you know, Nuno Bettencourt gets a mention for all the stuff that he played guitar on. He seemed to be like one of those guys that was able to kind of glue together any situation and add guitar or add extra guitar as required. And, you know, rightfully, he called out how just rock solid Geezer Butler was during the Sabbath set. Geezer was just killing it, man.
Dude, that was it. That was the, to me, with the Sabbath set, that was probably the most stunning thing, was Geezer just wailing on the bass. Like, it was, there were a couple of points where I looked over to, yeah, my buddy, you mentioned Joe from Loudwire, and we were just blown away. Like, Geezer just crushing it. And I'm not dropping a name here, or I don't mean to, but
you are.
We ran into Frank Bello from Anthrax after the show. And, you know, he was emotional about it all, but he said, he's like, listen, I know this is it for Sabbath. Geezer can't retire. We need Geezer. And after seeing that set, man, it was clear he has got a lot of life left in him, man.
Yeah, that's cool. And the other anecdote that I'll share from that is that Dave talked about how Tom was juggling a lot and there were a lot of moving parts. And Dave had learned a certain set of songs back in January. And it sounds like he basically showed up and Tom said, yeah, forget about those. So as David said, he learned that things were going to be pretty fluid with this concert. And Tom is the kind of wizard that you trust in that kind of situation. I think it's kind of great that the concert was not completely locked in stone, that everybody was able to kind of roll with it. I think that helps to make an event feel more real.
I think that's exactly right, man. And you're right. I don't think anybody could have done it better than Tom. And, you know, I think he was asked to do this about a year ago. And so I think for the most part, he's spent the last year putting this all together. And I think, yeah, up until about July 4th and maybe the morning of July 5th, he was working on it pretty hard. But also amazing, because Tom came out with that second supergroup and played.
Yeah.
He did a couple stage announcements later on in the day. I think he introduced Ozzy, which was amazing. But also, like, you could probably see this on some of the camera angles from the live stream, and I could see it from where I sat or stood in the crowd. But he was, I mean, almost the entire day standing on stage left, just rocking out. Like, I saw him play an air guitar a couple times, headbanging. You know, it was just, he was as much of a fan as anybody else, even though he was the curator of this entire event, even though he was on stage playing, even though he introduced Ozzy. Like, he was there as a fan first and foremost.
Last couple things, and then we'll wrap up here. Did you come away with a greater appreciation for any sort of, you know, because they were picking such deep picks, were there any records that you've been, like, down a rabbit hole since? Like, I know that, like, you know, here, you know, in-house, like, we've been talking about, like, listening to Sabotage and Never Say Die. Like, that's kind of what was great about the picks, was it kind of brought you back, in a sense, to, or brought some fans back to some of the other records that maybe are not the records that everybody knows as far as the Sabbath catalog.
Well, you mentioned Never Say Die, and that's definitely the album that I walked away thinking, like, I should probably go back and spend a little more time with that. You know, I had mentioned Metallica doing Johnny Blade. Like, that was a song that I didn't expect to hear on July 5th, and I loved hearing it. And so, you know, going back and revisiting that album, thinking about GNR covering Never Say Die, all of those things, I definitely walked away thinking, man, like, I know the depth of Sabbath and all of that, but yeah, there's even those albums that don't get the love that other albums do that still stand the test of time and still obviously have deep appreciation from bands like Metallica and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Well, here's where I'll leave it, man. And, you know, just as a fan, like, watching this whole day, the whole tribute to Ozzy and Sabbath, like, this definitely made me think about, like, some other similar legends that it would be cool to see a tribute like that for. And I think that you mentioned Steven Tyler earlier, like, that's top of my list, is like, I would love to see something similar like this put together to give Aerosmith one final, you know, shot at having that kind of appreciation.
I think you're right. And I think what was so special about this event is that all four guys in Sabbath are still alive. Right. And
yeah,
so
absolutely.
It had a different vibe to it. Like, I don't think this came through the live stream, but in between some of the sets, they would play videos, and not just the thank you videos that I do think were on the live stream, but they had all these AI generated videos of Ozzy. Like, there was one of him playing with the Beatles. There was a AI video of him sitting on a bench with Forrest Gump talking to him, like things like that, that you would not do if Ozzy wasn't on this planet. But because he's there, you could have fun. You know, there was actually some fun moments. And, you know, I think about, like, the Freddie Mercury tribute or the Taylor Hawkins tribute. Absolutely incredible events that have legacies, but a totally different feel. And so you mentioned Aerosmith. Yeah, man, like, now is the time. to make sure we pay tribute to them. And, you know, of course, I think of AC/DC too. I think they're, as we've lost the legends from AC/DC, you know, with Brian and Angus still here, man, you know, I'd hate to miss an opportunity like this to pay tribute to those guys.
That's a really, really good idea. Well, Chuck, we'll wrap with this, and that just is, how much merch did you get?
Well, you know what? Someone else asked me this, and I got to say, I didn't get any merch because they only had a few stands. And when I tell you the lines were massive, I can't tell you how long the lines were. They were absolutely unbelievably long. And so in my head, I'm like, you know what? I can probably get one online if I have to or anything like that. Like, I don't want to miss a second of the show. So I walked away with no merch. I'll tell you this, though. There's a great jewelry store in London called The Great Frog. And you can look them up. The jeweler, the guy behind The Great Frog, actually made a really incredible pendant for Ozzy that he gifted to Ozzy on the day of the event. And there's some pictures. If you see any pictures of Ozzy with like James Hetfield or these other guys backstage, he's wearing this big gold necklace, and that's from The Great Frog. And they actually did a collaboration with Ozzy to do a ring. And so I did get that. So I'm pretty happy about that.
That's fantastic, man. Well, thank you, man. Thank you for taking some time. It's just amazing that you got to go and see it. And I'm glad that we got to recap this a little bit here.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure talking rock and roll, but especially Ozzy and Sabbath.
We've reached the end of another episode of the UCR podcast. It is Matt Wardlaw. We appreciate you listening. If you enjoy what you're hearing, please rate and review wherever you are listening and hit subscribe so that you'll receive future episodes of the podcast from Ultimate Classic Rock.